I'm Steve Potter, and now on Cityscape, a play that showcases the courage and dignity of Jackie Robinson, who literally changed the face of baseball. And our guest today can really help tell that story. Later, we're going to be talking with a former ball player, George Altman. But right now, joining us in the studio, please welcome Beth Lewis, the granddaughter of Branch Rickey, and Carol North, artistic director for Metro Theater Company. Good morning to you both, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, Branch Rickey, for those people that don't know, was a ball player and a ball manager who had quite a history, and a lot of that history in St. Louis.
Yes, he did.
He managed both the Cardinals and the Browns, correct?
Mm-hmm. Played for the Browns as well.
So did you know your grandfather really well? Or?
I did. I was fortunate enough to know him quite well. I was 11 when he died, but we were a very close family. The family was a very high priority for him. And he lived here was back in St. Louis the last 3 years of his life and lived very close to us. So I had the opportunity to get to know him really well.
And he was famous in his own right. But as far as this play is concerned, Carol, he's the guy that signed Jackie Robinson. And after how many years of black people not being segregated from baseball,
that's right,
it broke the race barrier.
That's
he broke
right.
the race barrier.
Yeah.
They both
yeah.
did.
Yeah, it was a business deal, absolutely. And had it not been for his initiative, you know, who knows how long it might have been. There were certainly players who were, they were terrific players. Any number of players might have done the job. But he was looking for that specific individual who could stand up to what he knew was going to happen when the first black player came into the majors. And it's an ugly story.
It's interesting that you call it a business deal, and I want to pick up on that in just a moment. But I want to welcome our next guest. He joins us on the phone, former baseball player George Altman. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Now, George, you played originally for the Negro League.
Yes, I played with the Kansas City Monarchs in 1955, which was the last year that they had any kind of organized league. After that, they kind of barnstormed another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But 1955 was the last year they had regular league play.
You know, that's before my time, just a little bit.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm thinking for people, for anyone, fans of baseball or not, today, to think that baseball was segregated, it's sort of a weird concept. I mean, for anyone of a certain age that's younger, what was it like at the time? Did it seem wrong at the time?
Well, yes, it did. Actually, it was an opportunity for us to play play baseball, to play in the Negro League, but at the same time, we realized that we were not afforded the opportunity to play at the highest level. And that was a bummer.
And, of course, it probably means that you didn't have nice rooms and you didn't get paid as much and all the rest of that, right?
Certainly not. And the main thing, and one of the things, too, that was really problematic was when you were trapped, so forth. And, you know, baseball, you play it every day, and it's a grueling sport. And a lot of games are played in the South where the humidity is really strong and so forth, so you have to get on the bus a lot of times and without having your uniforms cleaned and so forth, and then I have to sleep on the bus and then play another ball game before getting to another comfortable hotel.
Yeah, I wonder how many ball players these days that can relate to that. I know none. Carol, tell me why, obviously, Beth and George are not in this play, Jackie and me. Why are they here today?
Well, this story that we're doing, Jackie and Me, it's called, is rooted in history. So I feel as if it is Beth's story. It's certainly the story of her grandfather's courageous action to go against the grain. You know, there was no rule. There was no actual policy that players of color were not allowed to play for the majors.
It wasn't against the law.
It wasn't against the law, but there was what they called a gentleman's agreement. And Branch Rickey really stood up to a lot of his peers in making this deal with Jackie Robinson.
Beth, did your granddad talk about that much and what that was like, that event for him and the decision that came about?
Yes, yes. We all were very much aware of circumstances, timing, motivation, and the challenge.
I guess it was a big – I mean, everyone knew at the time it was a big deal.
Yes.
It must have been something everybody talked about.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I think I heard you say earlier today that was early in the program that it was a business deal, and that's exactly what it was, because at the time the Negro League was drawing very well, and the major leagues was having some problems in certain cities with attendance. So this was definitely a business deal, and it turned out well for Mr. Rickey and the Dodgers and the Major Leagues.
Well, who would go see the Negro Leagues? Did a lot of white people go?
In certain cities, yes, in the big cities, because it was a great brand of baseball. They had some superstars there, like Cool Papa Bell, who was lived in St. Louis for a while also, but also guys like Bullet Rogan, Kansas City, and of course Buck O'Neill, who everybody kind of know in relation to the Negro League. But Buck wasn't a star, but you have guys like Josh Gibson and Cool Papa Bell and Double Duty Radcliffe. These guys were tremendous players. So the white establishment and everybody else that came to see them play really saw a great brand of baseball, and they were big fans.
And, of course, sports, all kinds of sports, really had a really positive effect in the story of integration, don't you think?
Yes, definitely so. And I think it not only baseball, but society as well. It shows that people can play together and get along together, and that usually in America, if you have talent, then you have an opportunity.
I want to ask about this business deal concept in a second, but let's take a phone call because we have a caller. I think, George, that has a question for you. This is Dennis in Overland. Hi, you're on Cityscape.
Yes. First of all, George was a great player. He's just a wonderful gentleman, and it's great to hear his voice. And,
oh, thank you.
What I wanted to point out is in St. Louis, we always talk about Yogi Berra, but it's amazing how nobody talks about Elston Howard. And I feel like on the face of it, the career that he had, given what he had to deal with, would warrant him being in the Hall of Fame. And a lot of baseball people are not aware that he was the guy that came up with the sign going out into the outfield to let you know that there was two outs.
Thanks, Dennis, for that.
And, well, the other thing is he came up with the donut. He was the guy that designed the donut. But it's a little off topic, but I don't think quite like that many people in St. Louis, and I'd like to hear George's thoughts.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
George?
I didn't know Elston personally, but I knew of his talents and his exploits, and he was a great catcher. As a matter of fact, I think he backed up Yogi Berra for quite a while, and then once he got a chance to play, he showed that he was a great ball player also.
Right. Well,
and not only was he a great offensive player, he was a great defensive player and tactician.
Well, baseball, America's pastime, right? Jackie Meek, Carol, talk a little bit about the premise of this play.
Yeah, it's based on a book by Dan Gutman of the same title, and the premise is a kind of fun one. There's a young boy, contemporary kid named Joey Stoshak, who loves baseball above all else, but Joey has a temper, and it gets him into all kinds of trouble. And but one of the things that he has that makes him quite an unusual kid is this gift. If the right baseball card lands in his hands at the right time, and he puts his mind to it in just the right way, he time travels. So in the play, Joey Stoshak travels from now back to 1947, landing in Branch Rickey's office on the day that Jackie Robinson is signed. So, you know, it just puts him right in the midst
is
of
he,
that.
Is he watching
moment.
Or is he an active participant somehow
He's
with these
an
characters?
Active participant. Mm-hmm. And the other twist in the story that's amazing, and Jackie, that the kid Joey discovers, is he's become a black kid. So wow. The wish that he had to go back in time was not only to make that trip, but to know what Jackie Robinson went through.
Uh-huh. Beth, what do you know about that day in your grandfather's office?
Well, it was a very dramatic day. It was a day where Jackie, when he came in the office, did not know exactly what Branch Rickey's plans were for him. And they talked a long time about the whole concept of turning the other cheek. And he and Jackie, grandfather, very, very, almost violently confronted him with the kinds of words and actions that he would hear, and to show Jackie what he would be facing. And Jackie understood the concept.
Right, because let's, you know, make an obvious point more obvious that this was an idea that probably everybody thought was a good one at
no.
the time. And George, did you ever run across Branch Rickey or Jackie Robinson personally? And if not, you certainly can relate to what he went through.
Certainly, and... Just a note of that, Joe Black, who played with Jackie Robinson, and he knew Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby, said that Larry Doby and Jackie Robinson was probably some of the meanest guys so far as baseball concerned, is that, you know, they didn't take any stuff, any guff or anything like that. And for them to curtail their temper and actually just be great representatives for the Negro Leagues, and it was just a great thing for them. And so far as meeting Branch Rickey, he was the general manager with the St. Louis Cardinals, or an advisor to the general manager in 1963 when I was with the Cardinals. And I had the utmost respect for him, and it was just great just to be associated with the same club that he was with.
Briefly, Carol, would you say something about the cast?
Yeah, it's a fabulous cast. They're athletic. It's baseball on stage, if you can imagine getting that close with the home plate literally reaching out into the seats. Dynamic, exciting.
Metro Theater Company presents Jackie and Me, opening next Friday, running through the 27th of January at Washington University's Edison Theater. For showtimes and more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to Metro Theater Company's website. And I think you're having the playwright opening night, are you?
Yes, yeah, Stephen Dietz will be here.
So.
And the second weekend, Mr. Altman, you're going to be joining us along with the...
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
yeah, we are too.
George Altman, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you. You've added an interesting insight into this, and we appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
We've also been speaking with Beth Lewis, granddaughter of Branch Rickey, and thank you for your personal testimony as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Carol North is artistic director for Metro Theater Company. Break a leg to everybody.
Thanks so much, Steve.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The Webster University Film Series presents Beauty is Embarrassing, a documentary about American artist Wayne White. That's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday nights at 7:30 in Webster's Winifred Moore Auditorium on Lockwood. The Repertory Theater of St. Louis's production of David Lindsay Abaire's Good People opens tonight at 8 o'clock and will continue through January 27th at the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts in Webster Groves. And Flashdance the Musical opens Thursday night at 8 and continues through January 13th at the Peabody Opera House on Market. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to have another in our Soundbites series produced with Sauce Magazine. And Aaron Williams will talk with Kababi Bayok about his project, 365 Days with Dad, an attempt to create a portrait of an African-American father interacting with his kid. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he and his guests will preview the 2013 session of the Missouri State Legislature. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Doerr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Art Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for joining us today.